Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 8, entitled Questions by King Parikshit, text number 5. Pravista karna randena Svanam bhava saroruham Dunoti shamanam krishna Salilasya yatasharat Pravista karna randena Svanam bhava saroruham Dunoti shamanam krishna Salilasya yatasharat Pravista karna randena Svanam bhava saroruham Dunoti shamanam krishna Salilasya yatasharat Pravista, thus being entered, karnarandrena, through the holes of the ears, svanam, according to one's liberated position, bhava, constitutional relationship, saraha, Ruham, the lotus flower, Dunati, cleanses, Shamalam, material qualities, like lust, anger, avarice, and hankering. Krishna, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Salilasya, of the reservoir of waters. Yata, as it were. Sharat, the autumn season. Translation. The sound incarnation of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul, that is to say, Srimad Bhagavatam, enters into the heart of a self-realized devotee, sits on the lotus flower of his loving relationship, and thus cleanses the dust of material association, such as lust, anger, and hankering. Thus it acts like autumnal rains upon pools of muddy water. Purport. It is said that a single pure devotee of the Lord can deliver all the fallen souls of the world. Thus one who is actually in the confidence of a pure devotee like Narada or Sukadev Goswami, and thus is empowered by one's spiritual master, as Narada was by Brahmaji, can not only deliver himself from the clutches of Maya or illusion, but can deliver the whole world by his pure and empowered devotional strength. The comparison to the autumnal rain that falls on muddy reservoirs of water is very appropriate. During the rainy season, all the waters of the river become muddy, but in the months of July, August, the autumn season, when there is slight rainfall, the muddy waters of the rivers all over the world become at once clear. By addition of some chemical, a small reservoir of water like that of a metropolitan water works tank can be cleared. But by such a tiny effort, it is not possible to clear up all the reservoirs of water like the rivers. A powerful, pure devotee of the Lord, however, can deliver not only his personal self, but also many others in his association. In other words, the cleansing of the polluted heart by other methods, like the culture of empiric knowledge or mystic gymnastics, can simply cleanse one's own heart, but devotional service to the Lord is so powerful that it can cleanse the hearts of the people in general, by the devotional service of the pure and empowered devotee. A true representative of the Lord, like Narada, Sukadev Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, the six Goswamis, and later Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, etc., can deliver all people by their empowered devotional service. By sincere efforts to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, one realizes his constitutional relationship with the Lord in the transcendental humor of servitude, friendship, parental affection, or conjugal love, and by such self-realization, one becomes situated at once in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Not only were all the pure devotees like Narada self-realized souls, but they were engaged in preaching work automatically by spiritual impetus, and thus they delivered many poor souls entangled in the material modes. They became so powerful because they sincerely followed the Bhagavatam principles by regularly hearing and worshipping. By such actions, the accumulated material lusts, etc., become cleansed by the personal endeavor of the Lord within the heart. The Lord is always within the heart of the living being, but he becomes manifested by one's devotional service. Purification of the heart by culture of knowledge or mystic yoga may be all right for the time being for an individual person, but it is like the cleansing of a small quantity of stagnant water by chemical process. Such clarification of water may stand for the time being and the sediments settle down, but by a slight agitation, everything becomes muddy. The idea is that devotional service to the Lord is the only method of cleansing the heart for good, whereas other methods may be superficially good for the time being. There is a risk of becoming muddy again due to the agitation of the mind. Devotional service to the Lord with specific attention for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and always is the best recommended method for liberation from the clutches of illusion. Om Jnana Timanandasya Jnanana Salakya Shakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatrubhita Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So in the opening line of the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes the it is said that a single pure devotee of the Lord can deliver all the fallen souls of the world. And of course, Srila Prabhupada is such a devotee. What can we say? Srila Prabhupada obviously did that in many ways. He did that to prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He did that by hard work. And he did that by instilling faith in people's hearts. Faith that actually happiness was possible after all. The world in this age of Kali is very frustrating. It is full of suffering, and there is no scope for happiness. Although people are desperately trying to enjoy their senses, people are all very, very frustrated, very restless, and very fearful, because the conditions are actually very difficult, due to the fact that sense gratification is not producing the desired success of happiness. Frustration is the result, and as a result, anger is arising, and we see the aggression in the entire world is mounting day by day and so on. And therefore, where is peaceful existence? Exploitive government leaders are adding further pressure by taxing people in so many ways. Manipulating people, creating artificial pressure, creating economic crisis, all for the purpose of exploiting people more and more. And in that world, who is happy? And so were we in the same condition, frustrated, not happy, somehow or other, trying and practically losing hope that it was possible. At least that was my state of mind. I kind of felt trapped in a world that I thought I haven't made, because I didn't see my karmic responsibility at the time for the environment I was in. And I felt trapped in that world, and I didn't see a way out until I came across Srila Prabhupada's books, where new hope awakened. New hope awakened that happiness could be achieved. The living being is, it is stated in the Vedanta Sutra, Anandamaya Vyasat, by nature, pleasure-seeking. So, by nature, pleasure seeking, and wherever we think that that pleasure is to be found, there we deposit our faith. And some have faith that by money, happiness will be attained. And some have faith that sex life will bring great happiness. But so many don't and are actually frustrated and therefore are very fertile ground for the message of Krishna consciousness. So many people actually are waiting for something more. They don't know where, but they're looking. Srila Prabhupada has come across the Atlantic on the Jaladuta carrying with him Srimad Bhagavatam. And with that, the essence of the treasure of Krishna consciousness. That Srimad Bhagavatam described as the literary incarnation of Krishna. And that is described in this verse. In the sound incarnation of Lord Krishna enters through the ears into the heart and eventually will be seated there within the heart on the result of our devotional service. Srila Prabhupada gave us that devotional service. He gave us that initial faith in Krishna. We had never heard of Krishna, never thought of Krishna, but somehow or other, Prabhupada presented Krishna in such a way that it makes sense. Why would the absolute truth be impersonal if everywhere in this world we see personality? And if there is personality in the creation of the Lord, then how could there not be in the Creator Himself? Therefore, in the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains that in the opening verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, the verse ends with the words, Param Satyam Dimahi, to meditate on the absolute truth. And Param Satyam, Srila Prabhupada said, the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to establish that Param Satyam is Parameshwar, or that the absolute truth is the supreme controller. And Prabhupada said, when you speak of absolute truth, it could be impersonal. But when you speak of supreme controller, Parameshwar, then you speak of personality. Therefore, the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to establish the supreme personality of Godhead. Iti chamsa kalapumsa Krishna stu Bhagavan swayam indrari vyakalam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. Srila Prabhupada stressed the importance of hearing and chanting. I guess today the theme of my lecture is the individual effort, and which is a foundation for the collective effort. And how, first of all, individually we must grow and we must develop our Krishna consciousness before we can do anything. It is the very key to our success. Therefore, although we are at the moment in the middle of the ILS, the ISKCON Leader Sangha, and in a way making a collective effort, I thought of I felt about choosing a verse which put the emphasis on the individual effort, because Krishna Shakti Binatana Pravartan, without being empowered, it is not possible to push on this mission. And such empowerment simply comes from hearing and chanting. In one analogy, we have the analogy of a large ship plying at sea, and it is very difficult to change the course of such a ship because it's a huge, heavy, heavy vehicle, and it has its momentum. And if you want to steer it and change the course, it can only be done gradual. And we see that the course of such a huge ship is changed by a very small part of metal. There's a huge chunk of metal going in one direction, and a small part, the rudder, is changing the course of that direction. So we can compare the ship to the course of the living entity who, life after life, has a certain momentum. And yam yam vapi smaram bhavam charati anta kalevaram. Life after life carries forward the consciousness of the previous life and continues in the same direction and gradually shifts here and there. Like that. But by a small particle, by the rudder, that ship can change. And in the same way, by the tongue, a small particle of our body, by the tongue, our destiny can change. By the chanting of the holy name, we can change our destiny. So Srila Prabhupada gave us that. And Srila Prabhupada also explained, he explained that the essence, chanting, must be performed attentively. Otherwise, the desired success will not be attained. And he said, attentive chanting means to hear oneself chanting. So it is the tongue in connection with the ear. That is the means by which we can become empowered, by which we can get the connection. Not only that, Srila Prabhupada desired us to sit and chant all day from morning to night. No, he desired that we would do more. He desired that beyond that we would take up the mission to change the entire world, to spread Krishna consciousness anywhere and everywhere. And that vision is the great challenge. Srila Prabhupada was and is a very challenging personality. From day one, he challenged the devotees. When he incorporated ISKCON in 1966, no one had thought that Krishna consciousness would go beyond the lower east side. He always wanted bigger, and way bigger than what seemed logical. When there was no money, he wanted big temples and so on. And when book distribution was getting big, now double it. Endless challenge and challenge and challenge. Send one man is enough to open one temple. Very challenging. So many challenges, and one can just make a long list. And recently I have spent time here in Sridhar Mayapur, because the GBC body asked me to do some service, and they asked me to do a kind of an analysis of Mayapur and develop a strategy of how it should develop, or in which direction it should go. and they asked me to write a report. So I spent 4 months working on that, and I had to temporarily cut down on my reading of Bhagavatam. I had to sort of come down to management, Mayapur. So even now, in this lecture, that's what will come out. It's inevitably so. No? Because whatever we hear, that ultimately finds its roots in our heart, stays there, and will manifest. But I did read interesting and nice things about Mayapur to comfort you. It's not that bad. And after all, it's the spiritual world. So it was a positive meditation. One interesting point that came up in an old BTG article where Ambarish was being interviewed and about the Mayapur project, and Ambarish was saying that this project in Sridhar Mayapur is very challenging. It's challenging us to go beyond anything we could have ever imagined. So then the interviewer was asking, in what respects do you mean? Are you talking about the money? He said, no, I'm not talking about the money. He said, money can come. I'm talking in terms of organization. He says, this is the biggest thing that this movement has ever undertaken. And it's just way beyond anything we ever imagined we would do in this life. And in this way, we are greatly challenged. And that is indeed a fact. In the course of interviewing various leaders, one of them said that just to build the temple, he said, I bet you my bottom dollar that it will never be done unless everyone gets involved. And I thought that was the general principle. I thought, which applies to the entire city. And I thought, it only comes if we all start giving to Mayapur. We have come again and again for inspiration. We have received the mercy of the Dham. Here, it is so easy. While I was here, I automatically could get up early. In other places, it's difficult. But here, it's so easy. It just comes natural, especially when there's no festival. There's nothing to do here at night. Most of the time, even the pizzeria is not functioning. So then where would you go? Nowhere to go. So just go to bed and then rise early and then chant before Mangalarti, when there's really nothing going on, when there's no one talking, and when one can just actually chant 16 uninterrupted rounds, right? Which is such an opulence, to just chant 16 rounds without doing anything else, day after day. So I had a great time in that respect, I must say. So the Dham was generous, because the Dham is surcharged with the generosity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we know that Chaitanya Charitamrita highlights that point, that generosity is an essential principle, and that when we take the fruit of love of God, that when we start to distribute that fruit of love of God, that we'll find that we'll wind up with more than we had before. So this principle applies also here. It equally applies to Sridhar Mayapur, that actually we have to give to the Dham. Our effort has to be here. Pranir arte diavacha. Our energy, our wealth, our intelligence, our words, will all have to manifest here for this project to become what it's meant to be. That's what it's meant to be. Srila Prabhupada also said to Bhagavat Prabhu, he said at one point when Mayapur develops, then we'll declare independence from India. And we'll make it a separate country. Yes. And we'll have our own currency called Chaitanyas. Right? Yes. And very nice. And then Prabhupada said, and then every temple in the world will become an embassy of Mayapur. And every temple president an ambassador. I think these days maybe not the temple president, maybe we should make someone else the ambassador. But whatever. Such large vision, such enormous broad vision of how to spread out the net of Krishna consciousness all over the world. How to engage the devotees, how to empower them by hearing and chanting, and especially Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the central corpus, this literature of our movement. It is the foundation. The other day the discussion came up that some are not accepting Srimad Bhagavatam as Vedic literature. But Jiva Goswami particularly dedicated the entire Tattva Sandarbha to that, right? To establish that the Srimad, on the basis of the Chandogya Upanishad, that Srimad Bhagavatam is actually also Vedic literature. The Itihas, the Ramayana, the Ramayana, the Mahabharata, the Puranas, are also the Panchamam Veda, the fifth Veda. So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of Nigama Kalpataru Kalitam Phalam. That verse continues and says, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. That one must drink this Srimad Bhagavatam through the ears. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur breaks up that word, Rasamalayam, and he takes Laya as a separate word and says, Laya is one of the eight ecstatic transformations in devotional service, and it means to faint. So one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam until one faints, yeah? Not of exhaustion, but of actually relishing, until one faints. Said, but if one faints, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, then you cannot hear Bhagavatam anymore. Anyway, then when we return to consciousness, we should hear again, till we faint again. So this absorption is really the essence, that must be there, constantly. It is only then that we'll have the strength to rise to the occasion of all these incredible challenges that Srila Prabhupada came up with, right? To build this temple. I heard it's going from the construction team, it's going to take a cash flow of $1 million a month. That's like, that's way beyond anything ISKCON has ever come up with, I tell you that. $1 million a month. It's a lot of money for us simple guys. So, and that's nothing, right? Because the figure that is on the city of Mayapur is $1 billion if you thought we were finished with the temple. So, a billion. So things are mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. How it will be done, we don't know. But we do know that it can only be done through purity. And purity means to be absorbed in chanting the holy name, in deeply hearing Bhagavatam and living the Bhagavatam and creating a standard of life based on the Bhagavatam. To look at the great personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam as our example, to be tolerant, to be faithful, and all these things are required. So the challenges are very great. And the ultimate challenge is that we are meant to become pure devotees. Because if there is one pure devotee, Prabhupada said, if I can make one pure devotee, I consider this mission successful. Because one pure devotee can do it all. It is not that Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis were standing on the construction site of the Radha Govinda temple with plastic helmets on, supervising the work, and somehow or other getting that temple built. Rather, they did it by their deep absorption. Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro Premam Ritambu Nidhi. By always being absorbed in chanting, always absorbed in glorifying the Lord. And in this way, and then becoming immersed in an ocean of transcendental ecstasy, and therefore always absorbed in remembering the Lord and not interested in anything material. And in this way, creating faith. Dhira dhira priya jana karo. So in this way, by creating faith, can we push on this movement? Can this vision of Srila Prabhupada actually come to pass and be successful? It is in that way that we can lead, and only in that way. And therefore, I chose this verse. The time slot is very short, so you speak, and when you open your eyes, the clock is approaching 8:45. So, all I can say is one last point. Sarva Maha Gunagan Vaishnava Sarira Krishna Bhakta Krishna Gun Sakil Sanchari. That a great collection of all good qualities is present within the Vaishnavas. And a Vaishnava gradually develops all the good qualities of Krishna. So, in this way, the Vaishnavas also, like Krishna, become all attractive. And that is what we see in Srila Prabhupada, that he became all attractive. Like when Prabhupada was here, wherever he was, that was the center of the universe. Wherever he was, that became the place where it was happening. And so in this way, we hope that this movement will produce, it has already produced many amazing devotees to whom I'm offering my obeisances. Still, the thought comes to my mind that if we would take a scale and if we would put all the collective wealth, all the jewels that we have received of realizations in Krishna consciousness, of all the devotees, on one end on the scale, and we put the weight of Prabhupada's wealth on the other side, I'm sure that his wealth, his spiritual wealth, outweighs the collective wealth of all of us. Therefore, I'm thinking, we are greatly challenged to push on this movement, since we do not have the adequate wealth to come up with what is needed. But by trying, we can, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, become empowered and attract mercy of Prabhupada and Krishna, then it can be done. So let that be the conclusion for today. And if there's any question or comment, then
most welcome. Prabhu.
Maharaj, as you're suggesting, the whole Mayapur project, and especially the temple of the Vedic Planetarium, is perhaps the greatest challenge to us to, as Prabhupada was always saying, not just at the end, cooperate. So, as I'm traveling the world with my Founder Acharya seminar, when I bring this up, I find that almost to a temple, they feel so challenged locally that it's very hard for them to think about this project.
Yes.
What is your message to such a feeling of being overwhelmed locally?
Yes. Life is very overwhelming locally. Every morning I feel overwhelmed, and throughout the day, it doesn't get any better. And what can I say? At night I feel challenged to sleep, and it just goes on and on and on. So, what shall I say? Everything is overwhelming constantly. I think that that's the amazing feature of Srila Prabhupada, that he was not overwhelmed by the biggest things. He did one big thing after another, yeah? And then he thought of bigger things to do, and he was not overwhelmed because he had that faith that somehow or other Krishna will help, right? So it is with that faith that we have to begin to work. We have to stop the logical calculation. Logically, we are very small, limited. Logically, we can only take care of our own turf. That logic doesn't apply. When we are trying to take on more, Krishna will help us and will give us the strength to do it. And it is on that strength that this movement will go forward. And that consciousness will have to instill. And of course, we have to hear that from our leaders. That's why I felt I had to at least bring this out so that our leaders can take this. And actually, I'm going to ask the GBC body to make every temple an embassy of Mayapur, and have a few other ideas as well to push Mayapur more into the foreground of everyone's thought. For example, to put it on the agenda of every RGB, every national council meeting as a permanent item. Every meeting should be discussed. Mayapur. Have more ideas? Hari Sorry, Prabhu.
In the early 80s, the Australian Yatra was sending a lot of money to Mayapur every year. And as the GBC, I was a bit concerned. You know, we had so many projects going on that we needed to do. And then I came across a letter, and I've never seen it since. It's not on the Veda base. But I read it, and it settled my mind, where Prabhupada told some temple president, I can't remember who the letter was to, but he said that the more that you send money to Mayapur, to develop Mayapur, the more your temple will flourish.
Hare Krishna. Yes. Keshava Bharati Maharaj.
With your permission, may I add one small, insignificant thought to answer that question? It's already done. The Battle of Kurukshetra was a huge endeavor. Arjun felt overwhelmed. Krishna told him, "Don't be overwhelmed. It's already done. I've already done it. You just have to try," as Maharaj so eloquently put it. Lord Chaitanya has already spread this movement all over the world. It's already done. We just have to try sincerely. Hare Krishna.
Right. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you.
And if you don't take the credit, somebody else will. Hare Krishna.
That's the point.
That's from Parisari, direct from Prabhupada.
No, that's Hare Krishna. Point. That's the point. It's about taking the credit. It's about getting a chance for us. Taking the credit means actually real credit. Credit that will transport us back to the spiritual world. It's not just name, fame, and glory, but real credit. Huh? We're not the doer. But we get a chance to get the mercy. And therefore, we should come forward with eagerness. And with that, we thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Gracias.